Born in the grip of oppression, I fought for my liberty. I paid with the blood of my people. Freedom has never been free. Now my door's always open to dreamers and friends. But when I'm attacked, I protect and defend. Because my name is America, I stand proud and free.
I was just reading an article the other day that said that Antifa over Thanksgiving weekend was at it again, knocking down our statues. I don't wonder how many people realize where this is all coming from. We really have a situation where Wall Street stole money from Main Street and then created a whole group of privileged kids as their offspring who will get the rewards of this money. And what did these kids learn in school? They learned how to destroy their country. And now they're going around, and that's exactly what they're doing. And where did they learn it? They learned it in school. And who's paying for it? Main Street. Main Street, wake up. Stop paying for our own demise. I've been reading that social justice will now be classes in school. America, this is a travesty that we are pushing upon our children as we are turning them into victims with nothing but vile hatred for their own country as they reap the rewards of capitalism, which grants them the money to do that. What's in your school? Will you wake up and find out? Will you stop this insanity? This is Karen Schoen, and you're listening to The Prism of America's Education. Folks, this election has us all with our hair standing up, as they say, as we are going forward and listening to some of the things that these people have done to us. Much of it, I really believe that the president had no idea when he, Donald Trump, said, I'm going to run for president. I don't think he realized the depth of the treachery and treason of the people who were permanently in office. And that was a big problem. They have blocked us on every turn. They have stopped us in every direction. But I truly believe we, the American people, will prevail. And I have a good friend with me who has agreed to spend some time with us and share her knowledge. Her name is Susan Price, and Susan is a Gold Star mother. She lives in Florida, and she also writes for AmericaOutloud.com. So you can go to the contributors of America Out Loud and read some of her incredible articles because her insight is fabulous. And I know Susan is very involved in the intelligence community because that's where her son came from. And she has the knowledge that he was able to grant her. Susan, thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate it. I know how busy you are, but I have been reading some of your articles, and the last one that you wrote on the 17 intelligence agencies who are working with foreign enemies. My God, Susan, can you elaborate on that one?
I can't take credit for things because it's shared knowledge, but really bizarre that my son was an intelligence Marine, and then I am doing some of the work on this side, following those leads into a captured nation is what we've become through the years. And it's just incredible that a lot of this stuff has been going on for decades. Karen, for decades. And I don't even know where to start first.
Well, you know what, Susan? Let's do a little bit of a background and tell us how you got involved, what happened to Aaron and the tragic loss that you suffered because of his untimely death at the hands of who? Our own country? And that's what we're finding out? How sad.
Yes. And first of all, I want to say thank you for having me on and for your listeners and the great patriots out there. More than ever, we need your help and support. Our president needs you. Please be active in any way that you can. My son, Gunnery Sergeant Aaron Michael Kenefick, was killed 11 and a half years ago during an ambush in the Kunar province of Afghanistan. He was an intelligence Marine. He was there as an embedded training team member working with the Afghan forces. And they were set up, and I'll say this, and now it all makes sense. Back then, when I was just the mother, learning about all these pieces, and I put them together and connected the dots through the years, now I'm the mother, and I'm on a mission because I have blood and skin in the game. But Aaron's death is tied to two Living Medal of Honor recipients, Marine Dakota Meyer and Army Captain Will Swenson. They were set up by the State Department. That's right. Before Benghazi and SEAL Team 6, there was the Ganjgal ambush, September 8th, 2009. It's 11 and a half years ago. And it's in, they meant to redact that part out that the State Department hadn't been involved with the village elders of the village of Ganjgal. But they forgot to take that little piece out. So they had met with these village elders and wanted to know how much money it would take to rebuild their mosque and sewer system. I find that's pretty atrocious. Wow. And then they send our Marines in the next day to be sabotaged with an ambush and killed. And I knew then that something was so desperately wrong that, first of all, the operating headquarter base, Camp Joyce, was located only 2.5 or 3 miles from this site. Why would you set up, why would the government invest money to set up a site for your, post so close to the enemy? You wouldn't, unless you were doing business with them.
That's something I don't think people realized, but we were doing business with them. And remind everybody for just one moment, who was president at that time?
Number 44, Barack Obama. Barack Insane Obama.
That's a good one.
I don't hold anything back because what I witnessed, my family and I had been tragically credentialed along with thousands of others during this Afghanistan war, as well as the Iraq war too. But, and my son, let me remind everybody, worked with those generals. My son was a stellar, an important Marine at Central Command in Tampa, Florida. And he worked with these head generals, the nefarious ones. I'm not taking away from the great generals, but the nefarious actors at Central Command. He knew who they were. So the story of the Ganjgal ambush, be it as everybody knows it, is the front story. I know the back story. My son was an intelligent.
I was going to say, are you able to share that with us, the backstory?
Oh, yeah.
Because
well,
that's where all the meat is.
Yeah, the meat and potatoes. Well, and it's the craziest thing, before I get into it, I just want to mention a couple more things, then bring me back in case I get too caught up, because it's very deep. It's very, very deep. When my son entered the Marine Corps in 2000 and he'd be out by now. He had served 12 and a half years, but he would be going on 42. So he would have retired a year or two ago. But he went in right after high school. He got recruited into his junior year. Was it Clinton that was president? I can't remember. I think it was then Bush. But it was before 9/11 when he went in. Okay. So anyhow, getting to where he was ambushed, the day before that, which was the 7th of September, and Labor Day weekend here in the United States, my home that I was moving out of was broken into. I had been putting stuff in storage, and I had moved all the big stuff a month earlier and was just emptying some of the smaller stuff. But in the garage, you couldn't even see that I was moving out. And I had one of those padlocks on the door for the real estate agent. So nobody, you couldn't break into the house unless you had one of those universal clickers to get into the garage and then go through the house, because it was bolted up pretty well. And I believe that's how they got in, because when I got back from making my run, putting things into my storage unit, and earlier that day, I had talked to my son twice. He called at 11 in the morning and then at 5:15 and asked what I was doing. And he told me that he was hurt with shrapnel, that they were going on a mission. The next day, he called to tell me he loved me. And it was a very short phone call, about 8 minutes both times. But when I had returned from the storage unit the second time, and it was about 6:45 when I returned home, I clicked my garage door opener and I noticed that the door going into the house was open. And I thought, that's really strange, because I lock all my doors and windows, even if I'm going up to the grocery store for a half hour. It's just a security issue with me. So I left my vehicle in the driveway and I walked apprehensively to the door, and I noticed a crowbar had been used to get in to the house. Now, I'm from a family of contractors that know how to fix and do everything. So I know what tools are, and that was definitely a crowbar that was used. And that shocking inner voice that said, do not go into the house. So I had no idea what was going on in Afghanistan at this very moment. But what was going on, which later I tied it in, was you had these treasonous traitors doing business with the people in the village. And then my son was also attacked that night, that day, at Camp Monte, which was an outpost of Camp Joyce's. These guys, my son and his team, were attacked by the bad guys. And when I say bad guys, I'm going to say domestic and foreign terrorists, because we know they've been working together, contractors working with the Taliban. They tried to take out Dakota Meyer and First Sergeant Johnson and my son, Aaron Kennefick, and James Ray Layton, the corpsman, but they survived it. However, one of the Afghans that was in the hooch with my son, he was talking with the Afghan soldiers, an explosive device was dropped, and it just missed my son, who was in there with the Afghan soldier. And Dakota Meyer thought they had perished, you know, in the blast. And a few minutes later, they come walking out. Well, it was a short time later after that, and my son had taken shrapnel in his arm. And it was a short time after that, they received a phone call from Camp Joyce, the headquarters, saying that they were to report the next day to the headquarters because they were going into the village of Ganj Gul. So it doesn't take a brain surgeon to connect all the moving pieces here. And what are the chances? And it could be a coincidence, but it's quite something to have a coincidence play out like this, that my son, who was targeted, just days after he was in Afghanistan up until the time they killed him, which was less than 2 months that he was there. So, and then his base attacked, and then someone breaking into my house. Looks like somebody's trying to clean up some loose ends. However, I have to tell you this part. The person, and I know who it is that was part of it, the person, my son worked for a general at Central Command back in 2004 that worked in J5, Strategic Plans and Policies. This general had areas of the Middle East that he was in charge of, and my son was his personal enlisted aide. So I'm sure Aaron was privy to a lot of things that we are not as citizens. While this general had just come back from Iraq months earlier, this general was an arms dealer who comes from the revolving door family and very nefarious activities. This general also worked for Madeleine Albright as her deputy under her a couple of years later in 2008, the year before my son was killed. Geez, I wonder, what are the chances of all these coincidences?
We have found out recently, let's put the time frame together. This was around the same time frame that we found out that they were running guns in Benghazi. And
right.
Bin Laden was killed and needed to be restitution, because that's the way it works over there. You take something, we're going to give you something. And Obama was very interested in giving away anything. So do you think used your son as kind of a... he and his team as kind of, we'll look the other way and you can take out these Marines and that'll be restitution for what we did to you? And of course, he won't be able to report on the guns that are being run. Do you think that that had something to do with it?
I'm sure that it's deeply tied in, for sure. In fact, I know it is, because there's so many layers to this onion. It will make grown men cry on their knees. All the trouble really started when my son worked at Central Command with this general. And I mean, I personally was attacked myself. I was shot at, my house broken into a couple times. I was followed by deep state. We didn't call it deep state back then in 2004. You know, this is when all the trouble started. In 2005, 2006, and through the years, especially when number 44 took office, and then when my son was killed. So I had activity happening before and after the time that my son was killed. And okay. I know that he knew,
He knew what was going on. Hold that thought, everyone. And this is unbelievable to find the depth of our foreign policy, our present policy. And it's very easy to see how President Trump felt when he said that he did not realize how deep the deep state really is. So hold that thought, and we will be right back. You're listening to Karen Schoen and my guest Susan Price, and this is the Prism of America's Education.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Welcome back, everyone. Thank you for listening. This is Karen Schoen with the Prism of America's Education, and we have been talking to Susan Price, who is a Gold Star mother whose son was in the intelligence industry. I'm assuming, Susan, that it is due to your son's untimely death, and we're so sorry about that. But I believe that the depth of what you're talking about is what we're seeing today with the corruption in our intelligence industries.
Exactly, Karen. And I tried to get this out there to Fox News and others back then, which tells me that they've always had a gatekeeper. And, and people in these agencies, they have gatekeepers that keep truth seekers like us from getting to the helm. But my message to them would be, people like us, the patriots and veterans that have children and just red, white, and blue Americans, we're also the dragon slayers. And we're not playing that because we're here to support our great president, President Donald J. Trump, and our grandchildren and our children and our country. And we're watching out for each other. So we're not playing that. And if it comes down to it, it's going to be a numbers game. And there's more of us than them. And there's so many patriots jumping in. In fact, the podcasts are all blowing up with information. Everybody's sharing intel and getting the word out.
Well, you wrote a fantastic article on the shadowy side of Joe Biden. Can you share some of the information in that article with us? Because I know that the media has been hiding the real Joe Biden. I read an article last week that said 85% of the Democrats who voted for Joe Biden have absolutely no idea who he really is. That's a frightening thing. And of course, the media held it back and they refused to share any of the information that Joe Biden has done. But he's not really this nice, sweet old guy. He has been stealing and conducting all types of treasonous, nefarious activities that go unreported. We cannot let this man become president.
Exactly. Well, Joe Biden would make Hillary Clinton look like a Sunday school teacher, if that puts it in its place right there. He's been in office for 47 years, so he's a master of deceit. You know, his family owns the island across the waterways from Epstein Island. He's involved with all the trafficking. You know, the children, the child trafficking, sex trafficking, arms, all the trafficking goes together. If they do one, they do all of it. Not to mention the abuse that his wife and his children from the first marriage took, including Hunter. Allegedly, I should say, these are psychopaths. He's a psychopath. And then doing business with mischievous business with other governments, stealing their elections. These people have been involved with criminality at the highest levels that we haven't even created a word for what they've done to us. So, yes, and Joe Biden, he actually played a part in this, too, with my son, because he was on the Foreign Relations Committee. And my son had written two letters to try to keep this madman of a general that my son worked for out of the equation from going to work in the State Department. And my son wrote a letter to Congress and to the Inspector General. Well, that letter got to Joe Biden, and Joe Biden would not hear of what was going on by my son or others that had grievances that they were airing to try to keep this general out of office. because unbeknownst to the common man, there's a gentleman's club and a satanic cult that takes place behind the scenes. These people are all psychopaths. They all work together. They run our DOD and our Pentagon and Defense Department. They're all involved with all the intelligence agencies because they're family members of some of the Operation Paperclip people. They're family members of the media, which is bought and paid for by foreign entities and tied in with the alphabet soup.
May I stop you for a moment? Let's just review Operation Paperclip because that is extremely important and that really sets the background for all of this. If you understand Operation Paperclip, which was it wasn't a CIA operation because there was no CIA back at that time, but it was another clandestine American group, intelligence group, that put together this brainstorming idea to bring the communists from Germany, as Hitler was expelling them from Germany, over to the United States, some went to Russia, some to America, and they whitewashed them, gave them new identities, and took these communists and put them in places of great importance, especially and including our universities. They became our scientists, our mathematicians, and they became the educators in our universities. This all happened around in the 30s. So the seeds of what we are seeing today have been sown in the 30s.
Well, actually, Karen, to add to that, it was a secret program of the Joint Intelligence Objective Agency, carried out by agents of the Army. Yeah. And there were more than 1,600 German scientists. And let me tell your listeners, if you're familiar with Plum Island, which is right near New York City over there, oh my gosh, all kinds of bizarre experiments, classified information have taken place there. They've found all kinds of, really, you can't even tell if it's an animal or bizarre experiments with animals where it looks like they were trying to mix the DNA of human with animals. But some of these things these creatures have been found along the shore sites in the Hamptons and over there. So it's just so bizarre. And so
it happens to be true. I know it for a fact. We had a friend that had a home on Long Island, and his home faced the water, and Plum Island was the water that it faced. And he used to tell us all the time that you couldn't get to Plum Island. You were not allowed to go anywhere near in the water unless you had special passes, et cetera, et cetera. And he used to tell us of some of the things that he had heard that was going on. So you are absolutely right. This place was the experimentation zone where these atrocities took place. And I believe where a lot of diseases were formed.
Lyme disease was created there, allegedly. Lyme disease. That first showed up in what? Connecticut? So that's right next door to New York.
Yes.
So Lyme's disease.
This is nothing new, but you're saying 17 intelligence agencies are working with foreign enemies? I mean, that is absolutely horrifying to hear, but not surprising for those of us who understand and can connect the dots. All of this is tied together.
I wrote an article a couple of years ago. I don't have it in front of me, but your listeners can go to the website and find it. And I listed the name of somebody. Listen, I've already been followed and shot at and housebroken and said, right now, I got nothing more to lose. I'm down to the fight right now. Let me tell you, one of the war czars that worked for Bush and Obama was a general whose wife used to work for the UN, and she also was an Army officer. She was Obama's person in charge behind Janet Napolitano. Let's say she was Janet Napolitano's shadow at DHS. Then this woman was put in charge at cybersecurity. When she came out of cybersecurity, she started her own agency. And I will send that article to you. I'll find it. And then she started doing business with all these operatives, foreign operatives. Now, I wrote this a couple of years ago, and for years I've been trying to get. I'm just a mother, but I am a patriot doing my patriotic duty. I've seen all this unfolding. I witnessed years ago just from following these people, seeing what they're doing, and tried to get this information out to people that mattered, that could do something about it, because I feared this moment in time, where we're at today. But this woman started her own global agency. Do you really think that somebody that was involved with Eric Schmidt wasn't up to nefarious means? She also works for the UN now, supposedly protecting children from traffickers. Well, we know what when they say bad, if something's good, it means bad. So, because that's the satanic order that they belong to.
So, Susan, do you have any good information for us? What is happening behind the scenes? What do we have to look forward to? Or is the whole world, all of us included, going to be taken over by this disgraceful global push to turn America into a third world country and to have Americans be nothing other than slaves to the rest of the planet?
I'll tell you what, President Trump has the patent to deliver to us when all this is behind us, but we have to get him in office first. We have to lock these people up, get rid of them wherever they, whether it's a quick trip to hell or wherever they belong, or behind bars for the rest of their life. There's so many new technologies that were suppressed. You know that the military-industrial complex was holding on to the patent, and all these things are going to be revealed during the second part of the re-election of our great president, Donald J. Trump. So we have health, wealth, and prosperity coming, jobs, careers, all kinds of new technology, cures. And yes, I went there and said that because it's true. We have cures for all the ills that have befallen us. And we were kept from them because it was a money-making device for these people. These globalists and elites have made money off of our backs every which way, every misfortune they could to make money and capitalize from us. Yet they won't want the red, white, and blue American to capitalize in a healthy way from their businesses and wanting to shut us down. But that's not going to happen. We have to get these arrests made, and we have to get this voting election fraud behind us. And then we're definitely going to see all kinds of advancements, Karen, that have been in the background waiting to come out in medical, everything, even our school systems. There's just so much revolution coming our way with every arena of our lifestyle. We even have MedBet, and I know it may sound like something galactic, but we have MedBed that will help heal people. It's totally amazing. That's the kind of quantum technologies that are coming. Everything's going to be very fast paced.
President Trump had better be reelected, because from what I have been hearing, and I hope everybody has had the opportunity to listen to at least some of the hearings that are going on, I found the Arizona hearing incredibly enlightening, even though this was not done in front of, it was not a committee, so there was no subpoena power, but the people that were listening to Rudy Giuliani and the presentation of all of the fraud that went on in this election, I don't see, unless the Supreme Court is so totally corrupt, Roberts would not allow this election to be heard. And once heard, it is so totally unconstitutional. Just the fact votes were counted outside the country. What stupidity is that, unless someone was getting paid off? And as evidence is being, as the onion is being peeled, as they say, and evidence is being presented, we are beginning to see the depth of the corruption of this election. And man, this is something that is absolutely unbelievable. Unfortunately, we are at the end of our time, Susan, and I would love you to come back as more of this election unfolds so that we can talk about some of the corruption that has seen. But where can everyone find you?
Well, I'm on AmericaOutloud.com, and right now I'm writing for them, and I'm working behind the scenes doing a lot of research, and I'm on various podcasts with other listeners. So as soon as I don't have a one place you can find me other than Twitter and Facebook.
We're going to have to change that one to Parler, but give everybody your Twitter and Facebook.
My Twitter is at Susan L. Price 1 on Twitter. And then on Facebook, I'm just Susan Price, Marine Gold Star Mother. They can find me there. Yeah, I'm working on the Parler and the others. So, and I'm also doing a lot of different podcasts, Charlie Ward and others, Spiritually Raw, and Prime Minister, a few others. So I'll get you those as soon as I have them.
And I will post that on Parler. Now I am learning that one. That is a challenge, but.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Well, we've all had to deviate, and because they're taking us all down.
You betcha. You know? Then that is how true that is. Hold that thought, everyone, and thank you all for listening. And we will be right back. You're listening to Karen Schoen and Susan Price, and this is the Prism of America's Education.
Spreading the out loud truth from sea to shining sea. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. This is not a fight of Republican versus Democrat. It's not a fight of rich versus poor, old versus young, man versus woman, gay versus straight. It's not a fight of black lives, blue lives, Hispanic lives, or white lives. This is a battle of good versus evil. It's a fight for the soul of humanity. We are the vision of the voices, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
I know that everybody has listening to Vice President Biden spew what he's going to be doing to us once he gets in office. And it's kind of really scary when you think about it, because not only what is it going to cost us in our wallets, but what is it going to cost us in our speech? Censorship is high on their hit parade. So not only will he be undoing many of Trump's tax cuts, he'll be boosting workers' rights to unionize, he'll be banning natural gas on federal lands, and he will be putting new anti-discrimination protections in place, and that's the one to me that is most scary. Because they will determine the anti-discrimination / hate speech that they will allow, and you can rest assured that they will not allow anything that we want to talk about. And we have seen that over and over again, time and time again. The other day I turned on a website that I have been watching, and it's called populist.press. And it's quite good because it's very factual, which is why I like it. I like to read the facts. I don't like to read all of the opinions and dribble. And this website has it all. And the other day when I went to turn it on, there was no website. And then I come to find that it was off the air for 2 hours. What right did anybody have to turn that off the air? And what right is going to be happening as we are being told what to do and what to say. And what is going to happen in our religious organizations, in our churches, our synagogues? Is the government going to come in with a pre-described script and tell our pastors that this is what they have to say at their sermons on Sunday? Well, nobody can answer that question better than Pastor Rick Stevens. You're listening to Karen Schoen and my guest, Pastor Rick Stevens, on the Prism of America's Education. What do you think, Pastor Rick? Do you think that we're going to be facing a time like before when the government comes in and tells the pastors what they can do and say at a Sunday service?
Well, I think that if we're not really right there knocking on the door, we're at the precipice about to fall over. I think it's very concerning that the whole business of religious freedom is being minimized and overlooked, sometimes demagogued in the pursuit of political opportunity, political power. We must remember that this whole idea of freedom of religion has to do with the freedom of conscience, the ability, the opportunity of all people to sort out for themselves what they believe and what is right. We can disagree on that, but fundamentally, we as Americans have always said that being able to disagree is fine. We have to have the freedom to think what we want and to express our religious beliefs in the way we want to. Whenever the government tries to control that, we should all be very concerned, because it's not really only about freedom of religion. It's about freedom, period, because many of us believe that freedom of religion or freedom of conscience is the first freedom. Without that, we can never truly be free. So whenever you see the government attempting to guide what you can think and what you can say, that should put up a huge red flag and cause every American to be deeply concerned.
I could not agree more. And people also don't understand that this is not going to just be freedom of right-leaning organizations. When they begin to determine what can be said and what cannot be said, it won't matter. It won't make any difference whether you're on the left or you're on the right. If you disagree, you'll be cut off. And I found it very interesting that Roger Waters, anybody that knows me knows I love Pink Floyd. They're one of my favorite bands, and I listen to them all the time. But I was very disappointed in their political, that they became political and stopped listening to them, as I'm doing with a lot of groups and bands and people that I used to admire. In any event, Roger Waters, who was the singer in the band, said that he was very upset with Jack Dorsey, who was censoring his organization, and his organization is a left-leaning organization. So don't think that censorship is only going to be on the right. Censorship will be taking in everyone. And who is to determine what is the actual news when we have people telling us what they want the news to be? Did you happen to hear about Jeff Zucker and what Project Veritas discovered in their corporate meeting, Pastor? Do you think that will have any ramifications on the church? And after all, who is Jeff Zucker, and what right does he have to tell people what they can do and say? And yet here he is.
Well, I think that's just one of the evidences of several, maybe we can say many, that the church needs to be alert during these times and get ahead of this instead of finding itself reacting to things when it's much too late. We do something at our church and I rather enjoy it, although I always approach it with a little bit of trepidation. Every time there's a month with five Sundays, on that fifth Sunday, we have what we call instant sermon. And instant sermon is not where you pour water on the preacher and see what happens. You know, a lot of things, we just take instant something, we add water and see what happens. That's not what it is. It's a conversation, really. And I invite people to write a question or a thought or a verse from the Bible, a chapter from the Bible that they would like some conversation about. And so we talk about that. It's not stump the pastor because we know that would be too easy. It's more of a catalyst for conversation. And so I respond, and sometimes we have a little dialogue in the context of the service. Well, somebody this week asked a question that I wasn't really expecting, but I was happy for us to talk about. And they wanted to know, and they referenced certain church leaders, what are they doing to preserve our religious freedom? And obviously the person who wrote the question recognizes that we have a time right at hand when our religious freedom is at risk. And so they were asking, what are the leaders that are, what are they doing to preserve that for us? And well, I said to people, well, how honest do you want a pastor to be? And everybody kind of laughed. And I said, I guess one of the things we ought to expect out of pastors is that they are honest. As far as I can tell, they're not doing a blessed thing to preserve our religious freedom. Now, I know some who are, but many who should aren't. It's as though they aren't aware of it, or they think it's not their problem or something. But all of these evidences, from the CNN things to the other evidences of censorship and hiding information from the people, are all evidences that religious freedom is at risk, because religious freedom is at heart freedom of conscience, freedom to have a conversation. And everybody needs to be aware of that. And we need to get out in front of that and not let the church's voice be silenced. Absolutely critical.
Most people don't realize that the church played a big part in the political makeup of our country. And it wasn't that our founders felt that the church should be determined by the government. It was the fact that the church should be monitoring the government. They should be adding the morality to the government that we know is, we have church leaders who are spewing hatred. How does that work in church, Pastor? How can you get up on Sunday and spew hatred and preach to your congregation that America is an awful place when that place got you standing in front of that pulpit?
Yeah, I don't understand that. And I don't think there's any place in the church for us to be talking and using hateful language or targeting people. The church, as you said, needs to be the conscience of the civil society. That means the church speaks with a clear voice to let people know, here's where God stands on these issues. The church should not be heavy-handed to say to people, you will knuckle under or else. That's not what we're talking about here. That's not at all being the conscience of society. That's putting it out there and saying to people, this is what God says. Now you need to respond, and trusting that people will respond appropriately and hoping they will, but not compromising on the message. It's interesting that over my lifetime, and probably some of our listeners have heard this as well, that the church has been accused of being heavy-handed, of saying to people, you can't do this and you must not do that, and a whole long litany of things that people have resisted and been unhappy about. Well, real Christian faith is not about coercion. It's about following with a whole heart and with the freedom to follow. Interesting to me that while people have accused the church of being coercive, now we see just the other thing happening. Media organizations, the tech organizations are all playing a role of being coercive and saying, if you don't think this, if you express something that we don't like, or if it upsets us to hear you say this, we're going to censor you. Well, that's as heavy-handed as anything I've ever heard the church be accused of. It's anti-American because we have always, as Americans, valued that free exchange of ideas. If we have a disagreement, we can exchange our ideas. You can express your view. I can express my view. We can hammer it out, and hopefully we will come to the best view. But we're not threatened by ideas. We've always believed that the best ideas would ultimately win out. Well, we're living in a time when trying to suppress certain ideas, and maybe it's because the people that want to suppress them don't really believe that their ideas are best, and the only way they can win is to crush the people that disagree with. That should frighten all Americans, because as you mentioned earlier, that pendulum continues to swing, and what is acceptable today, take away freedom of conscience, freedom of religion, we have taken away the heart of what it means to be an American.
And let's remember that free speech means free speech. Even if you don't like what the speech is, someone is allowed to say it. Imagine if the Americans actually knew the history of Joe Biden. Imagine if these things came to light. Imagine if the press was doing their job instead of doing Jeff Zucker's bidding of just going out and spewing what he wants to say. Freedom of the press, freedom of religion are going to be under high attack in this administration. Pastor, what can we do? And one of the things that I am advocating is that you separate yourself from social media. Use a social media that doesn't censor, like Parler. Read papers or read online magazines. Go to the source. Don't take somebody else's word for it, because then all you're doing is regurgitating the way they feel, and they may not be the way you feel. You have to do your own research. That's what's important. And unfortunately, as we keep kids out of school and they get more and more and more ignorant, it is easier and easier and easier to pull the wool over their eyes and to censor them. And that's very scary. The Florida Citizens Alliance, I just read, Pastor Rick, and I'm going to call on you for this one, has put forth their initiatives of what should be done so that we can alert our legislators as to what's going on in some aspects of our government. And now is the time when we should be turning and looking at our state government and making sure that the newly elected legislators that we hired to work for us follow what we want. So could you explain the initiative, and hopefully people will pick it up and carry it forward in their states, because we have to work together with our legislators. This is not an oil and water situation where we send you to office and you don't pay attention to us.
Well, we're doing a number of things, but just to piggyback just for a second on your idea that we need to be careful what media outlets we follow, that's exactly right. And it took me a little while to get to this point because I just want to be careful about all these kind of things, like we all are. But I encourage people to be very careful what they listen to and what news sources they follow, for the very reasons you mentioned. You just can't tell for sure if they're telling you the truth. And we are not better informed if we're following news sources that don't tell us the truth. We're actually worse off than we would be if we didn't watch it at all. So I'm real right there with you that we need to follow the original sources. You can always find the clips of hearings and of what people actually said, and that makes a huge difference. As far as the Florida Citizens Alliance, some of the things that we're doing are things that other states need to do, and we're working always to find solutions to education problems in Florida. I read recently that if you're just whining about a problem, that's just whining until you find a solution, then you're actually trying to fix it. We have always worked to find solutions to the things that we're concerned about. And so we every year put forth a legislative agenda, and we ask people to in the legislature to support that. We look for sponsors for bills. If they're working on something that aligns with our goals, can we help? And how can we support that? And so we are continually advocating for more parental choice, for more eligibility for the scholarships the state of Florida already has in place. We are fortunate in Florida. We have a lot of good scholarship opportunities. We just need to see them expanded so more and more children can take advantage of that. We are also huge fans of a bill that almost got passed last year, the Florida Parental Rights Bill. It was so significant because it would put into law that parents actually have rights when dealing with government agencies. Sounds like to most people, well, why would you need that? Don't parents have rights? Well, until you start dealing with some of these situations and find out that they don't listen to the parents first, they support their own interests first, and the parents struggle. And so we're looking for sponsors. We think there's a sponsor identified in the House. We thought there might be a sponsor in the Senate, but that has changed a little bit because of the assignments for committees in the Senate, but there's no less enthusiasm for the bill. And we think that it easily be passed this time around, and we're hopeful the governor would sign it. Those are two of the big things. And then we also noticed, and this would be a very significant opportunity for Florida parents, and other states need to consider this one. In the scholarship opportunities that we have in Florida available to certain private schools, but they are not applicable to online schools. And so what we want the legislature to do is to take a look at that and make the scholarships available to parents and allow them to use them with online education opportunities. We think that's very important with the move to so much online education. If parents want that option, they should be allowed to use the scholarships that the state provides. So those are three of the things that we're working on. We are keenly aware that our students need our help, and we're trying to help.
And anybody can go to goflca.com, which is the Florida Citizens Alliance, and copy any of the information that's there and use it in your states. If your legislators don't know what the problem is, they can't correct it. And that's our job, and that's where we have been falling down. We have not been contacting them. People are constantly calling me and asking me what can we do, because everybody knows there's a problem. I'm not going to go through the list of problems of all of the voting, because everybody knows that's a travesty. But Lynn Wood came up with a solution that I want to share. He said President Trump should declare martial law, and I would say in those five states, and have a redo of the federal election, because it will never be solved any other way. We will always have the fighting back and forth unless there is a firm decision and unless the state legislators hold back on certifying these elections, which they have not done. So many of them have certified fraud. Rather than do that and rather get involved in all of this, I believe that Lynn Wood is right. And I think that we should contact the president. We can go on his website. We can go all over. And as a result of doing that, we can tell him, declare martial law and change the election. We need to have an election that everybody believes is true and just. And the other thing that we can do is contact the people, the legislators in those states, and tell them we support them. Contact anyone you have in Georgia and tell them how important it is that they vote, and make sure in Georgia that that election is fair. What a disappointment that governor is. But I would say the governors are disappointments in all of the states that have certified fraud. I believe that there will be enough information and fraud coming out to stop this election. But I think our legislators need to know where we stand. And where we stand is with truth. And if fraud is going to stand, I agree with you, Pastor Rick. We are going to be in a world of hurt, and that is absolutely unacceptable. Thank you all so much for joining us today. You have been listening to Karen Schoen, and this is the Prism of America's Education. Thank you, Pastor Rick, and let us pray, would you please? Let us pray for a truthful outcome of what we are facing.
And everybody said amen. Father, give us truth. Whether we like to hear it or not, we want to know what is true and right and just. Amen.
Amen.
But I'll always stand proud and free. I'm America, don't tread on me.